Kristen.
Hello, beautiful Natalie.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm having a delicious cup of mint tea.
Oh, life is really good. Just a little tea and a little conversation. Lovely evening. For those of you new to the Create Podcast, we welcome you. This is episode 101.
101.
It's like our baby went to college or something. So we're here podcasting for you, and this is a podcast that is all about desire, purpose, passion, being in alignment with who you are and what you want. And this is called the Let's Play Podcast because we want to take a stand that we can do everything that we do from a place of joy and ease and lightness, and we don't have to bring forward the conditions of hard work and struggle and martyrdom and strife that so many of us grew up with. And CREATE, which is our little baby, stands for Community Reclaiming Every Artist's True Expression, because we believe that you listening are an artist, and you are here to make something, and then the world needs and desires and wants the thing that you're here to make, and we want to help you do that.
And what I'm excited about is tonight's topic is when you give your power away. And I remember when I texted you and you're like, what's the topic going to be? And like, I like closed my eyes and I heard when you give your power away, and you were like,
It was all the happy resistance where, you know, a spiritual breakthrough is on the way.
Right. Well, you know what I was thinking about is, there have been so many times, I think for all of us, where we realize, oh, I gave my power away in that situation.
Yeah.
Or we know what it feels like to feel a sense of, whether it's like frustration at a situation, despair, all these, feeling like we're not inside who we know ourselves to be.
Yeah.
Right? And there's that feeling that we can get when we do feel like we're just inside the truth of who we are versus when I've strayed from that.
Yeah. And I think what came up for me is, even the idea of giving my power away, I know that how it occurs for me, it feels like someone's taking my power away. It doesn't feel like I'm giving it.
Yes.
It always occurs to me in my perception like, well, that person took advantage of me, or that person took more money from me, or that person took my peace away, or, you know, that situation robbed me of my ability to feel joyful, or that landlord, you know, took my ability to enjoy being at home in this space, or whatever the things are. It always feels like your power is being taken. So even to think about the conversation as every time my power feels taken, it's actually a power that I've given.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a tough pill to swallow, but I also think is very empowering to say, where's my responsibility here? Because if I'm the one responsible, then I can get it back.
Right.
If I'm not the one responsible, then I'm a victim.
Yes. And you know the story that I've shared on this podcast before of like walking to rehearsal and Rob Bell called me and told me about, that if we give our joy away, that's us giving our power to something.
Yeah.
And it like stuck with me, and it keeps sticking with me in terms of when I'm in a moment and I suddenly notice, oh, I've left my joy, or I've left my peace, and it's mine. Someone texted me this week. They're like, oh, I had a realization about peace. I said, what was it? And they said, it's in me all the time. It's always mine. And so if I'm out of peace, that means I've left the state that's the truth of my being.
Right.
Right? And I'm like, isn't that one of the most fun realizations when you realize that all of those qualities that are of the divine, of our highest self, are always with us, but it's our choice.
Right.
And when we create a narrative. And the funny thing about this podcast, friends, is that Natalie and I walked in here about to record this podcast, and I confessed to Natalie, I'm like, oh, I am watching myself make a story about my evening and all the things I have to do, which I know is giving my power away because I've created some sort of story. And I could just as easily create the story that tonight's going to be the best night of my life and meet this moment present, fresh, and new, as opposed to get into some sort of complaint that is not in time.
Right. An anticipation of what isn't even here yet and creating a complaint about it.
And did I tell you, my friend, you know how we talk about, like, people just texting you messages? My friend this week shared with me that teacher of hers in Los Angeles said is, you can't have a grievance and a miracle at the same time. Right? So finding myself in a grievance mindset, that's when I've taken myself out of the miracle consciousness.
Right. And that's why in one of our previous podcasts, we really talked about how insidious complaining is.
Yeah.
Right? Because a complaint is really just a validating of a reality that you don't want.
Yeah.
As opposed to saying, I could sit all day and talk about and justify the seen reality that I don't want, or I could be using that same energy seeking out a reality that I do want. I heard Tony Robbins do this thing, and it was very similar to something we did in one of my psychology classes, where he said to everyone in his audience, okay, look for brown, look for brown, look for brown. Everyone look for brown. Close your eyes. Tell me how much red is in this room. And, you know, of course, everyone was looking for brown, so no one saw red. So he said, open your eyes. Now see red, see red, see red. Now close your eyes. Now can you see the red? Yes, because it's what you were looking for. And he said, but you can also see red where there wasn't red because you're so determined to find red that you then made burgundy red so you could have more red. Does that make sense? So even if reality isn't giving you desired results, you can choose to see that it is.
Yes.
Because you're claiming that it's for you.
Yes.
So it must be there.
Yes.
And it's just an interesting way to come into a conversation about power, is that we really want to come into a conversation about power saying it is something that we can freely give ourselves or give to someone or something else.
Yeah.
And many of us are so busy giving our power to people, places, and things that we then don't feel like we have enough left for ourselves, and then we make it the world's job to give it back to us. Let me be worthy enough. Let me love you enough. Let me do good enough work. Let me work hard enough at this job so that you give something back to me because I gave it to you. But then we realize that we're now in a conditional response with reality, and we don't have to be. We could choose something else. And it really reminds me of this Eckhart Tolle quote that we just pulled up. Someone sent this to me today just before we did this podcast, so I knew it was supposed to be on the podcast. But it says, ask yourself, is there joy, ease, and lightness in what I am doing? If there isn't, then time is covering up the present moment and life is perceived as a burden or a struggle. I love that idea. It's like putting a blanket over something. Yeah. It's still there.
The joy and ease and lightness
is still
here.
There. It's just time, your schedule, your to-do list,
your judgments, labeling,
your expectations. It's like pulling the blanket over it. It's just covering up the present moment so that you can perceive that it's not there. But it's actually working against the universe to perceive it's not there because it is there. It's just there under what you covered it with.
It's
and
right
the
here.
Point of power is saying, I know it's there. And I willingly choose to uncover it.
That's right. Well, and being present is so much about being inside the energy of this moment, right? Like Eckhart will talk about just feeling the aliveness in our hands or just feeling our own breath. And if when we're truly present, we're out of a mind story, right? So we're out of our ego. And it's our ego that is really often the one having a problem with the form of the world.
Right.
Right? And you and I talk so much about inner and outer world. And I think we've been taught to be obsessed with the outer world. Like that we get our sense of validation or worthiness or success or abundance or joy from something in the outer world of form.
Right.
But because we've been taught and conditioned to look for form first, we forget that energy comes before form.
Yes.
Right? What's the science? I know we talk about it a lot, but the 000?
Yeah. So, you know, quantum physics, and this is specifically Joe Dispenza that talks about this, but this is based on, you know, the work of Einstein and these great physicists. But basically that in the pre-Einstein universe of Newton, they saw everything as mind and matter. So matter is this body, this table, this chair, this teacup, and everything else was mind. Now, what they couldn't figure out is why matter always acted in a predictable way. Matter always shows up the way matter does. This table shows up every second of every day as this table. You never come out and the table is like a different color or an elephant, right? Like the table's form basically stays what it is unless you, you know, chop it up and make it into firewood or something along these lines. But what they thought saw with mind is mind was always changing. So they couldn't figure it out. So they said, well, we'll just call that God and kind of brush it under the table because we can't scientifically figure it out. So Einstein came along and said, I kind of think there's some holes in that theory. I think we could go deeper. And Einstein's thing was, oh, it's not mind, it's energy. That the world, the universe, everything in the seen world, everything in the unseen world is made up of energy and matter. But we got it wrong. We thought matter was the whole thing and mind was a little piece of it. But it's actually that energy is 99.99999% of all reality. And form, matter, the table, the stuff we see is actually 0.000001% of all reality. So when we're using all of our energy, which is most of what we are, to try to move around form, it's like we use the least amount of power possible. When we could use energy to move energy, and we're gonna have like 99% greater results just based on the fact that we have more to play with.
That's right. And so if that can make us mindful to come back to our energy and say, where am I coming from right now? And you and I find this like a fun little trick is when I just focus on the love inside of my body. So yeah. If I'm just feeling a little out of sorts, like a little like, oh, I need to hit my meditation pillow for a second. And I just go within and I just focus on like opening my heart, the love inside of my heart, the expansion of that space inside. I can feel myself start to fill up with the best feelings, right?
Yes.
I can, I love to like, and I've talked about this too, is like imagine a filling station of light coming through my forehead. But all of a sudden I'll feel like I'm getting filled up with energy.
Yes.
And when I allow my, the interior of myself to get filled up with that energy and then I leave the house, everything looks different.
Everything looks different. I often think as we go through life trying to move form around, what we often will come up against is that we're actually getting a lot of residue on us that isn't even ours and doesn't belong to us. And then it's hard to sift through what's what. We just literally, for me, it occurs as almost feeling dirty. Like I have like the slime of the world on me. Like I wake up and I feel pure and intentional and clear and this is going to be a great day, you know? And then you check your email inbox. Oh, there's so many emails. And then, you know, you have to go here. No. Oh, the, you know, the, it's raining or that. And as life goes on, it's like I'm getting this slime of the world on me. So my meditation that I like to do is even I can do it on the subway. It takes 30 seconds, even less. I just imagine this like golden glittery shower of light just pouring over me and just kind of washing all the grudge off. And then it's fresh. Okay, now there's a new moment. So what am I choosing now? Right?
Yeah.
Like that moment is gone. It's like on a computer. Control, Alt, Delete. Whatever you type, delete, delete, it's gone. It's over. There's a blank piece of paper now. Now what am I writing on? I don't have to write the same thing over and over. And that's the conditioning that we don't always get. One thing Joe Dispenza talks about that I love is he says that we always fall inevitably into the habit of our familiar past. That, and Tony Robbins will say, our rituals are creating our life. Our habits are creating our life. It's the same thing. It's that we end up with this neurorigidity doing the same thing over and over and doing it on autopilot and thinking the same thoughts over and over and thinking them on autopilot. And we give our power away to that which doesn't deserve us because some of what's on autopilot is, why did bad things always happen to me? And so on autopilot, bad things keep happening and happening to you, but it's a giving away of your true power because you were born as a powerful creature who great things can happen to as easily and readily as bad things can. So we are a human being. we are in this outfit of humanness, bad things will happen to us, and so will good things. So if we continue to perpetuate that the bad things will happen, we're just going to make that the 99% of our reality that we don't want. When we could say, yeah, sometimes bad things are going to happen. It doesn't mean anything. What am I choosing? I can also choose to see myself as someone who's fortunate, who's lucky, who's blessed, who's the favorite of the universe. I can also choose those thoughts. And as I choose those and make those ritual in my life and make that a habit in my life, then I now have reclaimed my power.
Right. It's making those empowered choices, which is like writing the empowered story of who you are or who you're being at this moment. You know, I feel like often when we try to get our meaning from form, so we look at the bank account or the relationship or the jobs we feel like we're getting or not getting, and then write our story from that, we're putting form in front of the energy, we are writing disempowering stories about ourselves. But there's the place from which that this, no matter what is going on inside of circumstance, we line up our energy first, right? Like Abraham Hicks talks about it getting in the receiving mode, which is also the same as creating a really empowering narrative of what's going on in your life. That empowering narrative is the thing that raises you vibrationally. It gets you to look for the red in the world, right? It gets you open and available. And from that openness, that's that receiving place. Like we all know what it's like to have those days that feel magic, and then everything is even more magic.
Right.
You've stepped into the receiving zone. You're like, oh, it's good, and it just keeps getting better. So then,
I call that a hangy day.
Oh, you do.
Well, it's usually when I'm with you, I have that day.
But we also have that ability with each other to like that we enjoy turning each other on,
yes.
Right? We enjoy telling each other how beautiful the other person is and how they're nailing life and how cute they look in their jeans. Like,
right, and we enjoy saying, look how beautiful the light is on that building.
Yes.
And, oh, look how great it is on the Upper West Side. And, oh, look at the cute outfits in the window. Now, the same person could be walking down saying, oh, it's really cold out mm-hmm. today. Oh, there's outfits that I can't buy.
Yeah, yeah,
you know
yeah,
what I
yeah,
mean?
Yes.
But it's just the choosing of, oh, let's make this all a big game. Let's make this fun. Let's make this feel like we're 5 years old.
Right. Then we've entered that state of play. Like, I even noticed this morning when we were getting coffee, you were being so cute with the barista, and then you got your coffee for free, right? And you came in and you had been listening to Abraham Hicks.
Yes.
And I'm sitting there with my little journal. I'm like, somebody's in the receiving zone. Like, I was like, she came in that door primed. And it was so fun for me to get to be like a little eavesdropping mouse in the corner. But isn't that so interesting? I wonder if we could, like, it makes me think we should be mindful throughout the day, or we could be mindful throughout the day, just to go, oh, I'm just going to plug in.
Yeah.
I'm just going to get inside my empowering story. I'm just going to turn on. I'm actually going to go inside my power center.
Yes.
Right? We become powerful when we realize we have the choice to connect to that power within us.
Right. Like, how do you charge something? You
right.
plug it into a power source, right?
How many times, right, has our iPhone gotten drained, right, all day long?
Exactly. Because it's out in the world. It's in the mishigas. It's in the craziness. So it's like, I got to plug back in. I got to plug back into that pure source energy. Energy that's
yes.
here and available. And what's interesting is for me, when I think about the word power and what feels like the most powerful thing, and for me, it's consciousness, it's awareness, it's mindfulness. That for me is the absolute point of power, because it doesn't matter what I've done wrong. The minute I see it, it is transformed, right?
Mm.
So I was telling you the funny story, speaking of getting something for free today, I was telling you the funny story of how you and I declared, it might have been a year or a
yes.
year and a half ago, we were walking down Columbus Avenue, and I remember saying, we're going to change our money story. And I really want to have a more empowering money story. And I remember saying I wanted to double my income in a year. And of course, like, you were just like, oh my gosh, that's easy. Of course that's going to happen. And I was kind of saying it as an affirmation, like, oh my, but I couldn't even see the forest through the trees. Like, there was no way that that could ever happen, right? Unless I like won the lottery. I was like, who doubles their income in a year? But I'm just putting it out there. So cut to today, I'm organizing my taxes for this past year. And I'm adding up all these little things. And I mean, I'm an actor, so I get residual checks all the time, but they're usually like $2.80. So I have this huge stack of these, receipts from these checks, and I'm at like $2.80, $1.20. I'm just adding them up, and it just feels like pennies. But I get to the end, and I'm looking, and I had that moment of, my gosh, I doubled my income this year.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't even notice. I didn't even notice. I was just feeling good with money. I was just enjoying money. I was letting money enjoy me. I was showing money I was responsible to it. I was showing money that I loved being in exchange with it. I wasn't even doing a lot of money practice. I was more just my practice of having an open hand with all of life and being open to receptivity in a new way. Now, cut to, that's not even like the miracle of the story, talking about the point of power. It wasn't actually the point of power that I did that, because that was just what wants to happen when you get out of the way of resistance.
There it is.
Right? There was no miracle in the fact that my income doubled. My income wanted to double. It was just that I had to really surrender and be receptive enough for the natural course to happen. Right? It's not that I turned something around or made something happen. It was that I got out of the way so the natural course of events could unfold.
Right. So it's almost like looking at her life and going, where do I have resistance? And that means somehow I've been in the way.
I'm in the way.
Of what wants to come in.
So the thing of the true point of power isn't always necessarily doing something. Sometimes the point of power is in the surrender, the acceptance, and the non-doing of something. Now, cut to, I had this incredible moment, this incredible realization, wow, this beautiful thing happened. Now I'm like 20 minutes later, I'm in the Target and I'm buying, the toilet paper, the paper towels and the dishwashing fluids and all the things that you have to buy every once in a while because you just run out of everything.
Yes.
And it was like $100, and I could feel inside my stomach a tension of like, do I have $100? Can I spend $100? Wow, that's a lot for not a lot of things. Wow, but it's really cheap here, so I do need to get these. And there was this whole story, and I thought, oh, so even when you have proof that there's red, there's still something in me that says, focus on the brown, focus on the brown, focus on the brown. And so the power is just me noticing that that's happening.
Mm.
Wait. I can see that there is red in my world now, and it's here and it's beautiful. And my mechanism from my familiar past of scarcity and lack and not enoughness wants to continue to find brown in a world that is now red. And if I go down that, then by next year, that income will be reversed.
Right.
So my point of power is just, thankfully, the awareness to say, oh, look where I went. Oh, I went somewhere there. Do I want to go there? No, that doesn't feel empowering. Okay, so I can notice it. I can notice myself with compassion. I can just say real gentle to myself, oh, Nat, like, look at you going down that little rabbit hole. You don't want to go there. I love you so much. Let's go somewhere else. And that's the power. So we often think we have to get it right and think perfect thoughts and feel perfect feelings for manifestation to happen. But I actually think it's the compassion of which we deal with when we get off of it that actually creates the sustainability for it.
And the awareness is so beautiful because then that gives us a glimpse at our belief systems,
right?
Like, as Michael Beckwith calls it, our BS.
Our BS.
Right? So here's a little system you can play with in your life, just in terms of getting yourself back into your power and also using your feelings to show you what's being reflected to you, right? So as we talk about being not putting form first, I also want to be clear that that doesn't mean that we don't want, that you shouldn't be inside what it is you desire.
Right.
Have all the desires. Like, the world is here is the most beautiful playground.
Right.
Get excited about it.
Desire is always actually going to turn you on to what you want to see.
Yes.
Right? If you want to see red in a world of brown, your desire is going to activate red.
Yes.
And so that is like a great true north. It's a great starting point. It's a great direction to go when you don't know how to find red in a world that's brown.
That's exactly what I think it is. It's like a map. It's like a GPS map. Ooh, this is what I want. This is what I desire. Head in that way. I'm going to go in that direction. And then if we can look at what we feel, right, our feelings will tell us, what is it that we're thinking at the moment that's creating that feeling?
Yes.
Right?
So, and both are changing.
Yes.
Right? What we want changes very rapidly, and what we feel changes very rapidly. That's why the mindfulness of that constant check-in, you know, you and I often get together on the weekends, we'll be ordering our coffee, and never do I just on autopilot order us the same pastry every day.
Right.
But there are days when I say, Hengi, do you want a pastry today? And then there's days when I don't.
Yes.
Because I'm always checking in with, well, what's my desire?
Yeah.
Because it's always changing. We don't want to assume that we always desire the same things. And we don't want to assume we still feel the same way about something that we did yesterday.
Right. It's the way to, like, check in to our inner compass. And when we check in to what we're feeling, right, often we can go, okay, look at me. I feel a little... I might be feeling a little frustrated right now. So what is that then that I'm believing?
Right.
Right? And then if we find out what it is we're believing, it'll show us what that belief system is. Like when you were in line at Target getting the toilet paper, and what the feeling that came up was...
What was not enoughness, was scarcity, was, you know, just some sort of like almost irresponsibility.
Uh-huh.
And almost like this feeling of sabotage, this deep sabotage.
Whoa.
Right? Like I couldn't fully accept and celebrate the abundance. And I certainly couldn't out loud, right? Because what will people think of you, or what, you know, that kind
right.
of feel. It brought up a lot. It was a very layered experience.
So that's really interesting. So what came up is, I'm afraid I'm not being responsible. I'm afraid I might sabotage this. I'm afraid there won't be enough eventually.
Right. Or I'm afraid it's going to go away. Or I'm afraid it was a fluke, or it was a one-time occurrence, or all those kinds of things.
Which gave you the ability to even just notice those thoughts were coming up and change those thoughts. So to create a new narrative of, oh, like... I'm going to celebrate how much money I made.
Right.
Right? When I talk out loud about all the abundance in my life,
right.
it draws more to me. Right.
Right. Like, right. Right. And celebrate. Oh, I feel so grateful that I can buy these things right now.
Yes.
I feel so grateful that I could buy three times as many things
yes.
if I wanted to.
Yes.
Right. Instead of focusing on where there might be lack in the future, celebrating where there isn't lack right now.
Right now,
right
I can
now.
Afford this. Right now, this is coming into my life. Right now, this is the divine in form.
Right. And we were even talking the other day about, like, planning our next vacation. And you said, well, by then, we should do this, and we should do this, and we should do... Because there's an anticipation of wealth. There's an anticipation of things aren't going to be going so great for us. We should plan in advance that we're going to be able to go to the fancy
spot.
Hotel.
Right?
Yeah,
exactly. Right. Yeah. Well, isn't that so funny? So when we get into our power, it's like making plans for everything to go our way. Like making plans for everything to be in alignment.
Right.
Making plans for the best possible scenario.
Right.
And also not being attached to that needing to be there.
Right. Whether it shows up or not, right? Like, and that's what I loved about what Tony Robbins was saying. Even if red's not there, you know, you can fudge burgundy to be red.
Mm-hmm,
or, you know,
mm-hmm.
like you can continue taking a stand. Even if it looks like it's not going my way, I know it is.
I know it is.
I know it is.
Oh, we know that about crises. I mean, sometimes things come into your life and it looks like, what the F is going on? This is intense. This is scary.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I don't want this to be happening. And we look back later in our life and go, that was one of the best things that ever happened to me.
Right.
Right?
Right. And so many people in moments of disease, chaos, divorce, strife, unimaginable pain will look back and say, there were so many gifts in that
yeah.
that I don't know if I would have gotten if not for it.
Right. Nothing in my life grew me more than that experience.
Right. Right. So when we talk about power and we talk about that power, power is about being in the present moment. Because if we want to avoid the familiar, painful, conditioned past, which is causing us to have a conditional relationship with our future, then what we want to do is say, well, if the past doesn't have the answer, then the only other place is right here, right now. The only other place is the present. And if we want to reclaim our power, then in the present moment, I would like to suggest that there are three ways that we can reclaim our power, whether we feel like it's been taken, whether we gave it away, whether we feel totally disconnected to it, whether we've never felt a moment or a day of power in our entire lives. I suggest that if we allow ourselves the true mindfulness, no matter how badly we feel we may have done up until this point, that in this present moment, there are three ways that we can reclaim power instantly.
Give it.
So the first one is we have the power to perceive anything. We have the power to perceive any reality. So this is similar to what we've been talking about. In a world full of brown, you have the power to see red, even if it is a speck of red.
Yes.
And so if you claim the power to, I am determined to see that this life is for me. I am determined to see that there is a speck of goodness or a speck of abundance in my life. You know, so in the same way my ego wanted to focus on the $100 I spent today, it didn't want to acknowledge the free coffee I got today, and both things happened. Right? There is a speck of something that you can find that looks like joy, ease, abundance, freedom, love, unconditional bliss and ecstasy. There is at least a speck of it, and you have the power to perceive it. And the second you acknowledge and take a stand for it, you've reclaimed your power. Number two, you have the power to change any reality. So anything that you see that you don't jive with, that you don't like, you have the power to change it. In the same way, you took an Eckhart Tolle quote, you took ease and joy and you put it under the blanket, you have the same opportunity, and you don't call that irresponsible. You call that just what is. But you can take like all the stuff that you don't like, sabotaging myself, not liking myself, and you could put that under the blanket. But most of us will think that's irresponsible because I won't be motivated to be better if not for those things. And I'm just saying, you have the power to change reality.
So it's like, in this moment, you can be a little detective and uncover, ooh, what's the ease here?
Yes.
What's the joy here? What's the lightness here?
Because if you bring even 1% of joy onto the table, things are going to change.
That's right.
And you have the power to change any reality. You could be sitting on the MTA and it is not moving and it is stuck. You could be sitting on a freeway. You could have a screaming baby on the plane beside you, and you have some way that you can change that reality. There is something you can do. If you're stuck on the plane, you could get up and go to the bathroom. You could go have a conversation with someone. You know, you could put on earplugs. There is something you can do to change your experience of the reality. And when your perception and experience of the reality changes, then I argue that the reality itself will change, and then you will know how powerful you are.
Right. That is what empowers you at that very moment. How else could I look at this?
How else could I look at this?
What else is here?
Is there another action I haven't thought about?
Yeah.
And that ignites us with our creativity.
Our creativity, right? So didn't we hear earlier this week someone say, when you make up your mind about a solution?
I wrote it down. When I was like, you and I both love this so much. We become too attached to our own solutions and we lose our relationship to creativity.
Mm-hmm. So when we're stuck in our ideas of how it needs to be solved or what it needs to look like, we lose our creativity.
Right. And in the creative moment, we can change reality.
Right. There's always a muse that's right here and right now that's like knocking at our door and being like, I got an idea for you.
Right. In the same way you can change your vibration, right? Everything in reality is 99% energy.
That's right.
Energy moves. Emotions are energy in motion. So if you feel better, reality will change to match where you are.
That's all.
The third one is you can create any reality. So if you're in a world of brown and you've searched everywhere for red and you just cannot find it, then the great news is you can create red. You have the palette. You have the colors. You have the same stuff as a star. You have the same stuff as the thing that created this whole damn place. And you can create whatever it is that you want. So if there is something that you wish to have in your reality that is not present, so let's just go through all three with money. Mm-hmm. I desire to have bucket loads of money. Great. Now we know what your desire is. How does it make you feel when you have that desire? Turned on, activated, powerful, in my true self. Great. Now, what are the belief systems that are either keeping you from that or helping create that?
Yeah.
Great. Now, let's get really clear on those. Well, I think I believe I don't really deserve it. Great. Well, then let's put that under the rug for now. You can always get it back later if you decide to.
Right.
For now, let's put that on the side and say, but what if I believed I do deserve it and so does everyone else? Great. I'm just going to try that on for size. So now I'm primed so I can perceive any reality. Okay. Well, then let me begin to perceive where I'm already really abundant. And it might look like a free coffee, and it might look like someone opening a door for you, and it might look like someone giving you a compliment, and it might look like someone giving up their seat on the subway for you, and it might look like finding a dollar on the ground, and it might look like getting an unexpected job, and it might look like booking a national commercial, and it might look like a lot of things.
Yes.
And all you're doing is saying, I'm going to perceive... Let's use green. I'm perceiving the green, and I'm perceiving that it can come in creative ways that maybe I'm not used to thinking about, but I'm willing to perceive in a way I've never perceived before so I can receive more.
You know what I like to think sometimes is all day long, the universe has lots of ways to make me rich, and it's just coming my way.
It's coming at me.
It's finance and everything.
Yeah.
I do remember like the moment that I realized, oh, if there's any project I want to do and I just commit to it, like I write it down in my day book and said, this is when this is happening, and I start walking in that direction, all the resources show up 100% of the time.
Didn't you tell me there was this director once who felt stuck about making movies, and someone said, or maybe that someone didn't say this, or maybe they just did this, they just started filming?
Oh, yes. This is my Doug Liman story. Very famous director who had a big studio movie that they that hadn't been greenlit. And he picked up his own personal camera and just started shooting footage for the movie. Like, he flew himself to the location where it happened, just started shooting footage and sending it back to the studio. And so they had, like, hop on his train. They're like, he's already making the movie.
He's already making the movie, so we got to
go catch up, right?
Yeah.
So and that's what I think we want to show life.
Yeah.
I'm already doing it.
Yeah.
Catch up.
Catch up. Catch up to me. I'm on the train. I'm on the vibrational train that I'm an abundant person who makes a lot of money. So reality... Now, so now we're on to number two. We can change reality. And we can change reality by taking actions that are so in alignment with the reality we want that reality has to change to match it.
That's it. And you can, just like how you shook your little tail in your seat when you talked about, you know, all the bucket loads of money, mm-hmm. right? Energetically, you stepped into what it feels like.
Yes.
And that we have that power to step into whatever it is we want. What is that feel like, and then start living in life as that person.
Exactly right.
Which is really what life is calling us to do and to be. Life wants us to know how powerful we are, and life wants us to know it starts with the energy first.
Right.
Stop valuing form so much.
Right.
You're energetic beings.
You're energetic beings, and that's where all the power is. Mm-hmm. And the universe is saying, I want you to get how powerful you are so much that we're going to almost make it feel and look like you're not powerful, so you get so in your power that you will never mistake it again for you not being powerful.
That's it.
And then the last one is I can create any reality. So bucket loads of money is my new state of being. Bucket loads of money is my new perception. That is what is coming in. I'm looking. When I don't see it, I'm taking actions within my energetic body to change it energetically so that form has to show up to match. And now I can also know, I can create money. Oh, I can create money. Well, now that I have that knowing, let my creativity, let my inner muse turn on. Let me get so deep in my listening, because I now know what is possible is that I not only receive money, but I create it. So now let me get quiet enough, in tune enough, still enough, in my listening enough that I actually hear, here's how you create money.
That's right. I love knowing But the universe loves to guide us. Mm. It loves to instruct us. And when we asked for that kind of direct instruction, using those show me words, then all day long we're going to be talked to.
Yeah.
All day long we're going to be directed.
And that's when we go back to the perception. Am I actually willing to perceive what I'm receiving?
Yeah.
And if I am, if I can start with receiving via my perception, then I can start receiving via a lot of other places. I can start opening all my senses and my energy to receptivity.
And then our inside, our imagination, our energetic body becomes a playground for exploration.
Right.
And you can start exploring in your own energetic body. You can start going, what am I going to play with today?
And then we become the power charger that other people get to come charge at,
mm-hmm.
right? And then you become a real dominant hand of the universe. Because it's like, hey, if you want energy, if you want money, if you want a great actor, if you want a great screenplay, if you want a great movie, if you want a great parent, go there.
Yeah.
Go there. They're nailing it. Remember I told you I was going to surprise you with a quote?
Yes, give it to me.
Now's the time. From A Return to Love, Marianne Williamson. Achievement doesn't come from what we do, but who we are. Our worldly power is a result of our personal power. Our career is an extension of our personality. People who profoundly achieve are not necessarily people who do that much, but they're around, they're people around whom things get done.
Mm.
Gandhi, JFK, great examples of this. Their great achievements lay in all the energy they stirred in other people, the invisible forces they unleashed around themselves. And by touching their own depths, they touched the depths within others. That kind of charisma, the power to affect what happens on the earth from an invisible realm within, is the natural light and function of the child of God. New frontiers are internal ones. The real stretch is always within us. Instead of expanding our ability or willingness to go out and get anything, we expand our ability to receive what is already here for us. Personal power emanates from someone who takes life on. The universe takes us on as we take it. There is no greater taking on than a full appreciation of the power and the importance of love. Miracles flow from the recognition that love is the purpose of everything.
Love is the purpose of everything.
I love that people who profoundly achieve aren't necessarily doing that much. They just inspire and move energy to such a profound extent that everything gets done around them, for them, on their behalf, because it can.
Yeah. And because they're touching something that we know is true. They're so deep inside the truth. And when we hear the truth, we resonate with the truth. And often the truth is, we are so powerful and powerful in our loving. And I love that when it comes, because I do think that's where our true power source is our heart.
Yeah.
So when we get into our heart, and that can be self-love, that can be love of our work, our craft.
Nature,
life.
Each other.
Right? When we come from that place, we find that our power runs so deep.
So deep. It's that we start to recognize that we are powerful and everything else is just a costume. And so let us just say, let me just uncover, let me just take off all this conditioning, all these false beliefs, all these ideas that I can't want what I want and I can't feel what I feel. Let's just take it off and see what else is available. And that's true power. Being willing to ask a new question, being willing to see life in a new way, being willing to almost dangle the carrot in front of life to see, look what I can do.
Look what I can do. Friends, may you find ease and lightness and joy in this moment, wherever you are, and keep uncovering it. It is yours, and you are so powerful.
Thank you so much for listening. We love to feel like we have friends all over the world in you who are committed to doing their dream on the planet.
And if you liked this podcast and you want to find out more about what we're doing or who we are, our pop-up classes, our online classes, you can check all of that out at thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to be part of our Facebook community, you can go to the Create Community page. That's C.R.E.A.T.E. Community.
And if you loved this podcast, why not share it with a friend?